Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to break your word together. Lord, I thank you for a good spiritual meal today. Lord, that will nourish our spirit man. Lord, thank you for everyone you've gathered here, for friends, for guests, for family today. Lord, we thank you for each person, Lord. Thank you, Father, that as we break your word together, your bread, Lord, that it nourishes us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we get started this morning, we're on an Overcomers series. And is there anyone that here that doesn't have your Overcomers card? Okay, let's get them handed out. Yep, the card. Is there anybody? Looks like 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got plenty. We bought 100. And our intention was that everyone would have one, that you could keep it in your Bible, use it for a bookmark. You don't have to do one per family. It's one per person. We also have them in Spanish. If someone needs one in Spanish, we have them in Spanish also. And as you're finishing that up, I'm going to ask Jen and Gabe if they'll come up. They have an overcomer's testimony today. So you're ready to hear an overcomer's testimony? Yes, hallelujah. So come on up, Jen and Gabe.
You want to go first or should I go first?
We got to keep it to 5 minutes. So I'm going to be quick. As I was sitting there thinking, gold is made through heat. It's purified through heat, through pressure. It has to be melted down in order for the dross to come to the top, in order for the impurities to be separated from the value. And sometimes God uses a season in your life to melt you down a little bit. Sometimes he uses a scalpel. Sometimes he uses a wrecking ball. Past half year here, it seems like it's been more of a couple of wrecking balls. But praise God, he's brought us through it. You know, we were able to sell our house finally. And the first thing we did was write our check to our tithe and our offering. And because we know that it's because we were faithful in that all the way through, even when we didn't have it, because we were faithful in that, God brought us through it. So.
Okay, so I'm thankful for a time frame because I would have been more than 5 minutes. So I want to be obedient to that. So I'm very thankful for our mama of the house. So, as Gabe said, it was about a 5-month process that felt like about, 25 years. but yes, he did refine us. He refined us. And he will refine each one of us in whatever situation he has us walk through. But our part is to allow him to refine us. It is all about allowing him to move, even when it hurts so, so bad. Allow him to move. So in the beginning of the 5 months, October, we put our house on the market. We are so excited. We're ready to go. House is pretty much set. We didn't do everything because, of course, there's an inspection. They're always going to tag something. We had an offer within 2 weeks. We were like ecstatic. We were like, go God, this is amazing. We actually had different schedules, so we chose our time frame to sign the closing papers the day before the buyers. And so we went that morning, signed the papers. That night, we got notification, they walked. So it was, about a 16-hour time frame difference between all said and done and what is going on. We also usually will we'll stand on his word. But in those moments of devastation, it's what do we do? What do we do here, Lord? What do we do? So we go to prayer. We call on the Lord. We call the elders of the house. And, okay, direction, Lord. We're not sure why this is happening and where to go from. So we put the house back on the market. We're praying. We're interceding. We're went to the house. We've prayed. We've dedicated it to the Lord numerous times because, you know, sometimes it takes more than one time. So we had we actually had a total of 5 offers from beginning to end. The first one walked. The second one was about 3 days in, and the gentleman decided to walk. So in that second time, we were, it honest to God, it took some time. It took some time to say what, you know, we thought we were going in the right direction, Lord. Are we going in the wrong direction? You know, what is the right direction? What do we do from here? We've prayed, we've warred, we've interceded. We've done all that we thought we should have done by what he has called us to do. So now what? Now what? And from what we've prayed and what we've learned through the teaching of the word of the Lord here in this house is you stand. You stand on his word until it comes to fruition. And if you, I mean, there are times where we are like, we're just done, Lord. Whatever. We're just done. I'm just done. I'm our hands are raised. Just forget it. Like this house, I just don't see how it's going to sell. I mean, it's impossible. Just seems impossible. But the Lord reminds you that he is a God of the impossible, that he will allow you to overcome if you stand on his word and not waver against it. So we had a third offer come in. We were very excited. We actually had 2 at one time. So we're like, oh, a double portion, Lord. That's amazing. We needed to have that. Because at this point, we were just kind of like, kind of numb, you know, to it all, to this roller coaster, the emotions up and down and up and down and pretty much inside and out. But we didn't accept one because it was a contingent of selling their home. We didn't want to wait any longer. but really, we felt led to pick the buyer that we've walked through the process, this last process with. I wanted to encourage you through this process. We did have many naysayers. You know, when you go through a process, you'll have them. And the Lord allows us to stand upon his word and allows him to shut the naysayers' mouths and to show them who he really is. So this last process we walked through, it was pretty easy going. There was things that we needed to do, and we walked through them. God met every one of our needs, every financial need, every thing done in the house. There were needs there that we couldn't provide, but God did. So that being said, come Thursday at about 4 p.m., the buyers sign the papers. We've signed the papers, and God gets 100% of the glory. We are all done. The price that was paid was pretty much what our what we had in mind to get from the home to move forward in his kingdom. And like Gabe said, I mean, that's the first thing for us is how can we glorify the Lord? You know, and he tells us to tithe and to offer it to him, because that's the most important to us. If God is in the midst of it, he'll bring you through it.
Amen. So. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. So was it the 5th buyer?
Yes.
And it was 5 months?
Yes.
And 5 in the Bible is God's goodness and favor.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's amazing. We walked with them through this. It was quite the roller coaster. But you know, when you have the word of the Lord and God has told you to sell your home and buy another home, then you hold on to what God said. And you know, it's up to him to bring it to pass. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we rejoice with them. They are overcomers. Amen. Well, we, this morning, our lesson is on strategy for the battle. If we're overcomers, then there must be a battle going on, right? And last week, I shared Warren Wiersbe's quote, "The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground." How many of you noticed that it's a battleground? Amen. Amen. So our true identity that Jesus Christ has given us is overcomers. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And this morning, we're going to read our proclamation together. Should be on the PowerPoint. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's read this together. My body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed, and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. My members, the parts of my body, are instruments of righteousness, yielded to God for his service and for his glory. The devil has no place in me, no power over me, no unsettled claims against me. As settled by the blood of Jesus, I overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and I do not love my life to the death. My body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for my body. Amen and amen. And let's give the Lord a praise. Next slide. So you'll find on your proclamation card all the scriptures that are connected to that proclamation. And I encourage you to proclaim that. Speak it out loud. Say it every day over your body, over your life. So today we're talking about strategy for the battle. And let's read together. We like to read scriptures together here at River of Life. So we're going to read together 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Okay, so spiritual warfare is an ongoing conflict against the human race by its enemies. And so the scripture says we have overcome them. And as I was praying, I'm like, Lord, who is our enemy? Who is the them that we are battling? Because if we don't know who the enemy is and how the enemy operates, then how can we come up with a strategy for the battle?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. All right. So we're going to look at first some definitions of what them is, our enemies, definitions of our enemies. First of all, the world. In the Greek, the word is cosmos, and it can mean the physical earth or it can mean people of the earth. It's the invisible system of ideas and purposes which Satan rules in opposition to God and his rule. We'll study these a little deeper as we go on. And then there's the flesh. In the Greek, it's sarx. This is another enemy. In other context, it means the physical body. The human nature with its physical and moral frailties and passions. Our flesh wars. The Apostle Paul talked about this in the book of Romans chapter 7. Sarx literally means flesh. And I just want to read a passage from the message from the Romans chapter 7, where Paul is talking. It's just everyday language. I like the Message Bible just for an interpretation. It's not a translation of the scripture, but it interprets it into modern conversation. But it says this. Paul said, I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decided to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. Can anybody relate to that? You say you're going to do it, you don't do it. You say you're not going to do it, you do it. He goes on and says, it happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? And then he goes on and says, the answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. And so Paul's talking about this war that's going on in his body, in his flesh. Your flesh will talk to you. It will tell you when it's hungry. It will tell you when it's too hot, too cold. The flesh has cravings. If you get hooked on drugs, your body's going to tell you you need that drug. And you'll say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have that drink. I'm not going to buy that beer. And before you know it, you're doing it. Is that true? Because our flesh talks to us. And like Paul said, he tried everything he could. He loved God. People love God, and they still mess up. So as Christians and as the church, can we love people that mess up? Amen. Because we're all in the same boat. We all have this flesh that talks to us and has its cravings. But anyway, when you get on over into chapter 8, Paul has the answer. He said, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So you see, we have the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he declared in John that we have overcome them. Yeah. So we've overcome the world system. We've overcome the flesh. And then the next one is Satan. That's our third enemy that we're going to talk about. From Hebrew, Satan means adversary or enemy. He is the supreme adversary of God and leader of the spiritual forces of evil. He's a created angelic being who rebelled against God and was given earth as his domain. In Revelation 12:9, the scripture says, so the great dragon was cast out. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Someone asked me a good question yesterday. How could Satan rebel? Well, obviously Satan had a will, because he kept saying, I will be like the Most High. He had a will, and the more he talked about his will and not God's will, he got into trouble. And they asked, well, why did the angels go with him? I said, well, he obviously talked them into it. Have you ever had a friend talk you into doing something that you know you should not have done? Well, it's the same thing. Satan went around and he got a group of people to agree with him that he should be the one that should worship. They should worship. He should be the one that everyone should admire. And you know what God said? I'm having none of that. I'm having none of that. Nope, that's not happening here. And he kicked him out. You know, you can't mess with God, even if you're his top angel that leads worship in heaven. He doesn't care about that. Obviously, Satan had a will, and the angels that followed him exercised their will also. We're not studying about angels, but someday we will. So a demon is an evil spirit, a fallen angel who chose to follow Satan, his commander-in-chief, and who continues to obey his commands. There are fallen angels that are operating in the earth today, and as people talk, you can hear what their agenda is. Many of the agendas that you hear coming out of Washington are agendas of fallen angels. You know, their leader is Satan, and what did Satan come for? To kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. And so we've got to be conscious of who's talking. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So you see, these people have been taken captive by fallen angels and their agendas and their demons. You know, when you give a place to the devil, he will move in. And he just keeps bringing in more furniture and more friends, and he gets you to the point where he will destroy you. And we have to be wise in these days and have a strategy for battle. Because what we are hearing going on in the United States and in many states is agendas of fallen angels. In the Greek, daimonion, which means spirit. It's used in Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, this is Jesus, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So you see, there is a hell prepared for the devil and his angels. There's a doctrine that went through the body of Christ, through the churches, that Satan was going to get saved someday. Have you ever heard that? That, you know, God's such a loving God that even Satan is going to end up not going to hell. Well, I have news for you. That is not what the Bible says. There is a place prepared for Satan and all of his fallen angels in the lake of fire. And there's a list in Revelation of those that are going to be cast in with him. Heaven is a real place and hell is a real place. Amen. So the scriptural names of Satan is the accuser, the adversary or enemy, angel of light, and Lucifer means light bearer. And someone was sharing with me, I think it was Shirley was sharing with me, that the Statue of Liberty has Lucifer written on it. Well, Lucifer means light bearer, and the Statue of Liberty stands in the harbor and holds a light. Okay, so it also means, Satan means destroyer, devil, dragon, evil one, father of lies, god of this age, prince of this world, tempter, ruler of the kingdom of the air. He's the ruler of principalities and powers in the air. So you see, as we gather here today, the angels of the Lord are here. Amen? Because the angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear God. And the angels of the Lord are sent to minister to heirs of salvation. Tell your neighbor, I'm an heir of salvation. And so angels are assigned to this place according to who's coming today. The Lord's assigned angels to be here to minister to you. You know, when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was wore out, the angels came and ministered to him. You know, sometimes you might come into church, wore out. But the angels of the Lord, they minister to us. The Holy Spirit begins to strengthen us. The presence of the living God just begins to flow through us. And there's something supernatural that begins to happen that can happen no place else except for when the people of God gather together. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So the enemy forces are worldly thinking, fleshly habits, and satanic influences. That's what we're battling against. Worldly thinking, fleshly habits, and satanic influences. But the scripture says we overcome these enemy forces because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus has already defeated them. And so we cannot go about our daily life with a victim mentality that woe is me, I'm just getting beat up by the devil. If you're getting beat up by the devil, then there is something wrong in your life that you need help with. Because obviously there's an open door. Otherwise, the devil can't get in. Oh yeah, he'll bring pressure, and we'll take a look at some of that. So we're going to talk about a stronghold quickly. Stronghold is a military, a secure or fortified place dominated by enemy or friendly forces. So it's a military term. It's a stronghold. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's deeply rooted thought patterns dominated by the enemy. A stronghold is built when a habit is so deeply rooted that negative behavior cannot be suppressed. That's a stronghold. So everyone is to judge themselves. Are you dealing with a stronghold? Is there something that's trying to take root on the inside of you to keep you from becoming the person God has created you to be? To keep you from fulfilling your destiny? Pressure will come to expose our false thinking or ungodly thinking. That's right. That's why we have tests and trials. They come to make us strong. Let's read 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Let's read that together. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we do not walk according to the flesh. And we do not war according to the flesh. We cannot take care of a spiritual battle by using fleshly means. To battle in the spirit, you have to use spiritual means. And like Jen and Gabe said, they stood on the word of God. They spoke his scriptures. They continued to be faithful in what God had told them to be faithful in. And you know what? God's word is spirit and it's life. And so you fight the battle with spiritual weapons. If we get in the flesh, we're really ugly. Tell your neighbor it's ugly. Oh, we've all been ugly before, right? When we get in the flesh, we can get pretty ugly. And actually, we make a bigger mess of it than what we should have, could have. It becomes worse. We fight spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. God's given a strategy to fight. He didn't say, just sit back and do nothing. There are certain requirements of us. God asked us to do something. It doesn't happen osmosis. God does not wave his magic wand over you and it all gets taken care of. But God will work with you and co-labor with you so that his will is fulfilled in your life. Hallelujah. So characteristics of our warfare. We've identified the enemy. Now let's look at the characteristics of each one of them. Are you still with me this morning? I'm teaching more than preaching today. But you know my responsibility, our heart, Apostle Leonard and I's heart, is that you're equipped for the battle. Because when you leave these doors every day, you're in the fight. You know, we gather together and just love on one another and enjoy the peace of God as he loves on us. But unfortunately, we got to go back out those doors. And it all begins. Characteristics of our warfare. Let's talk about the characteristics with the world. Let's read John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So warfare with the world. The world is going to... Next slide. Warfare with the world tempts us to seek its approval, conform to its standard of ethics, accept its philosophy, gain its wealth, seek its power, question God's word, be intellectually ashamed of Christ, regard trust in God as foolishness. This is the war that we have with the world. It tempts us to seek its approval. It will tempt us to be like everybody else. But we're not called to be like everybody else. The Lord says we're set apart. We're a peculiar people. Tell your neighbor you're really peculiar. I know some people said amen. That's the truth anyhow. We know that's the truth. We are peculiar people set apart by God. We're not supposed to be like the world. Who cares if the world doesn't accept us? Love not the world. You see, this is a war that goes on. It'll go on the inside of us. We want to be accepted. They want us to conform to their standard of ethics. Not going to do it. We have to make a decision in our heart. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go along with that. You know, we'll go along with whatever lines up with God's word. But if it doesn't line up with God's word, not voting for you, not supporting you, not going along with it. The scripture clearly says we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey him rather than man. And you know what? That goes in relationships too. Women are to submit to their husband as they submit to Christ. If they're not submitting to Christ, then I don't see in the word where you have to submit to them. Other than you have to love them, respect them. But we submit to our husbands as they submit to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ loved the church so much that he gave his life for her. And so submission to authority depends upon whether or not the authority is in line with the word of God. Now, I might be stepping on toes, but that's the truth. If your husband wants you to sin, no, you're not going to sin. No. Not going there. Because my head is Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He is the head of the church. And he will lead and guide and direct us as head. There's nothing more beautiful than a husband and wife that serve God. There's nothing more beautiful than that. Than a husband and wife that work together to raise their family. To serve together. But there are so many dysfunctional relationships, and no one has to sin for somebody else. Come on, I'm just preaching it this morning. Nobody has to sin for anybody else. Don't open the door or give any place to the devil. Hallelujah. God is our covering. God will protect us. But there is nothing more beautiful than a godly family. And you know one when you see it. Don't you? Because they are set apart. They're separated from the world. And you know that that family is godly. Love one another. serve one another. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what we're working on. Strong families. Because the stronger the families, the stronger the community. And men and women working together, God gave them dominion to work together. Hallelujah. We have different roles, but we are called to work together. It was cute. I went to see Brother Ora, and he said, you know, once he retired, he started helping Catherine, and he learned what housework really was. Housework is work, right, ladies? And it's wonderful to have a spouse that helps and comes alongside to do that. But it's wonderful, it's beautiful to see couples working together and yielding side by side to the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful thing. So we war with the world. They want us to conform to its standard and ethics. Not going to do it. Not going to accept its philosophies. You know, and we're not here to gain its wealth. But God desires that we have wealth. It's okay to have wealth. Tell your neighbor it's okay. What makes it wrong is when that becomes your idol. And that's all you're running after is to get more money. God wants us to be wealthy. We don't want to seek its power. God's power. Because you know what? The world will set you up and it'll rip you down. It will. You cannot rely on it. Let's go on. Let's talk about the characteristics with the flesh. Warfare with the flesh is with arrogance, evil thoughts, falsehood, hatred, murder, selfish ambitions, slander, drunkenness, envy, jealousy, greed, idolatry, rage, sexual immorality, and witchcraft. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Drunkenness, greed, idolatry. Let's read in Galatians 5:19 through 21. Let's read it together. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so right there you have a whole list of the works of the flesh and what we war with. Let's go to Mark. There's a few more. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So where does it come from? Within. It's in our hearts. That's why we need God to give us a new heart. A heart of flesh. Because what's really in our heart, we hardly know. Above all things, the heart is evil. And it's deceptive. And God asks the question, who can know it? Well, only God really knows what's in our heart. Sometimes things come up out of our heart and we're shocked at ourselves. But it was there all the time. And I always thank God, well, I didn't know that was there. I'm glad you showed me it's there. And now we can take care of it, right? So let's go on. We have warfare with Satan. And those attacks from without are like oppression. It's threatening the mind, confusing and conflicting the emotions, weakening the will, and affecting the physical body. Ephesians 6:16, let's read it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so if you can just imagine, we need our shield of faith because Satan throws these fiery darts at us. And he wants to penetrate our heart and our mind. And the shield of faith protects us. Did you know the Roman shields were more like a door? And they were taller than the person. And they were big. And they had hinges on them. And when the Roman soldiers would go across the field, they would hinge them together. And so when the enemy would see them coming, it would look like this wall that was marching across the field for protection. So the shield covered them from head to toe. It wasn't something little that you see, you know, holding up like that. But it was big. God's shield, our shield of faith, is big. Tell your neighbor it's big.
It's big.
It's big. And it will protect our emotions and our will. Job 2:7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And so Satan is ruthless. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're young, you're old. He doesn't care what your background is. He's just out to kill, steal, and destroy. And when he was in the presence of God, he told God, you know what? Job only serves you for what he can get from you. He only serves you because his life is going easy. And the Lord gave him permission to afflict Job, but he told him he couldn't kill him. And so Job was afflicted by Satan, but Job never denied God. In the midst of all of that, Job's heart towards God, see, God knew his heart, right? He knew Job was not going to deny him. Because Job loved God, and he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, that is a person who's really committed to God. Some more satanic attacks are from within, and those are obsessions. We can become obsessed with addictions, phobias, excessive fears, compulsive actions, and consuming thoughts. Let's read Ephesians 4:26 through 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down, still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. What gives the devil a foothold? Anger. If you struggle with anger, before the sun goes down, that needs to be out of your heart. If it's not, it gives a foothold to the devil, and he'll come to you in your night season and begin to speak to you. He might even penetrate your dream life because you've given him a foothold. You know, when you open the door and you put your foot in it so it can't close, that's what we do when we're angry. And the scripture clearly says, don't let it go down. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And so taking care of that situation. And if you can't completely take care of it, you can pray. You can pray. And ask the Lord to forgive you for whatever was your part in that situation. Take responsibility for your stuff. We get angry and we don't even take responsibility for our stuff. But we want somebody else to take responsibility for their stuff. Well, first of all, we take responsibility for ours. And often, when you do that, it may be a journey, but eventually, God will work it out. Tell your neighbor he always works it out. And then there's the satanic control. And these are people that are possessed. And I had lunch with someone on Friday, and they were talking about the mass murderer in New Zealand. And they said they had some video clips on it, and they said they watched him. They probably shouldn't have, but they did. And they said the man was just stone cold as he unloaded on those people and shot them. Stone cold. And I said, the devil is as cold as God is hot. And it's obvious that that man was demon possessed. That is not behavior that is in our human nature to be so ruthless and cold. And there are so many mass murders. Have you noticed? Go on Google and just look at all the mass murders. I think there were like 28 in January, 22 in February. That's almost one a day. We're becoming numb to it. At first it shocked us. And now we're becoming numb to the violence of the devil. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. And the scripture says he's going to be loosed upon the earth. And we see more and more signs and activities of his violence and people being possessed, really demon possessed. As a Christian, Jesus Christ is in us. He cannot possess us, but he can cause a whole lot of conflict and torment because he will work at it. And if we give him a foothold, he moves right in there to keep nagging us. Possession is mental torment, sudden personality changes, unnatural attachment to items of the occult, voice changes, catatonic states, violent dreams and nightmares, psychic powers, violent reactions to the name of Jesus Christ and are the things of God. Do you see that spirit throughout the earth? You bring up Jesus and people go berserk. Or anything that they think would represent Jesus Christ, they want to do away with. Crosses. Ten Commandments. We've seen this coming, church. Violent reaction to the name of Jesus. Chronic fear. Unstrainable outbursts of anger. Supernatural strength. Insensitivity to pain and convulsions. And there's a story in Luke that you can read, that's your assignment this week, and it shows all of those different stages from this man who had a legion of demons in him that Jesus set free. So let's talk a little bit. I know it's noon, but I would like to finish this. The development of strongholds in our mind, because the battle begins in the mind. Once again, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let's go on to the list. Okay, so we have a thought, which is to develop a stronghold. It's going to be a lie. And it enters the mind from the world, the flesh, or satanic influences. And then we're set up with a choice. A choice is made by the will to accept or reject the thought. We have all these thoughts go through our head all day long. Thousands of thoughts. Have you ever noticed? Thousands of thoughts going through. Depending upon how you choose, a habit's formed when continual choices are made to act out the thought. Now, these mass murderers, they're thinking about this and they're acting it out. And they're playing it over and over again in their mind. We can do the same thing if we're not careful. And a stronghold is built when a habit is so deeply rooted that negative behavior cannot be suppressed. So one of the ungodly beliefs that could, I'm not sure if they're on there, but would you go to the next slide? Ungodly belief. How many have heard of ungodly beliefs? Okay, this is something we teach in Restoring the Foundations. Ungodly beliefs will rule your life. When you're a child, you can develop an ungodly belief, and you live your life based on it. You know, you can believe about yourself that you're not adequate. And you'll live your whole life that way. It might be one event that happened when you were young, and you form that belief, I'm not adequate. And then you live your life based on that. And so Satan doesn't have to keep after you. You're already self-defeating because of what you believe. But anyway, an ungodly belief, there are no such thing as Satan, demons, and fallen angels. And there is no spiritual war I'm involved in. We all have personal battles and personal defeat. I'm no different. Ignorance, I don't know why I'm so defeated in my life, but there's nothing I can do. And many Christians go through life not believing that there is Satan, there are demons, and there are falling angels. And they hate you. They hate you. And if we have this thought in our mind, then we're not going to war the way we need to war. Let's go on for the right belief, the godly belief. I recognize Satan as the father of lies, fighting to defeat Christians. But because I am in Christ and Christ defeated Satan, Satan is my defeated enemy. You see, we take the stand that he's already defeated. I am not falling for that. You might fall for it once, but you're not going to fall for it two times. Is that true? Have you ever fallen for it? Come on. Let's be honest. We fall for these things. When Leonard and I had on-the-job deliverance training years ago, and we grew up Pentecost, had the gifts of the Spirit, spoke in tongues, baptized in Jesus' name, loved God, went to church all the time. But there wasn't really any teaching on the demonic realm and what we were warring with. And so I really had just pushed it off like, it's nothing. You know, I don't have to worry about that. I'm saved. I have to worry about that. Well, guess what? We had an on-the-job training experience because where we lived, the occult was very active. And we were targeted by the occult because we were a Christian family. You kind of stand out, right? And one morning we looked out one of our second-story windows and there was a pentagram on fire in the street out in front of our house. And we started seeing all of these demonic manifestations going on and finding they would toss coins, demonic occultic coins and symbols in our yard. And so we began to seek God. What is going on? And you know, one of our children was given a gift from a teacher, brought it home, thought nothing of it. But it was used as a contact point for demons to come in and manifest themselves. How can that be? We'd been saved for years. We were baptized with the Holy Ghost. We pleaded the blood. But right there, we saw someone sit on the bed and the bed go down. You didn't see the person, but the bed went down. Okay, so then clothes got taken out of the closet and thrown on the bed. But there was no person taking them out and throwing them down. But the manifestation of the demon was there. And so it was through prayer that God gave us a word of knowledge that this particular gift was being used as a contact point from the demonic realm. Well, see, I hadn't even believed in really any of the demonic realm. Has anyone ever read This Present Darkness? Did you read that book? It was a novel written several years ago. I read it and I thought, well, that's an interesting story. It was about principalities and powers that were trying to take over a city and influencing people to act in different ways. And we just, you know, we just kind of pushed it to the side until we had on-the-job training and experience for ourselves. And then we began to realize how real the demonic was. And that is when we connected with Dr. Summerall, because Dr. Summerall was way beyond his time in teaching and helping people that were dealing with the occult and demonic spirits. Well, it's still the same, but people don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. But we have to be aware of it. We might not want to talk about it, but we have to be aware of it because it is real. And Satan is out to destroy you. Does that mean that everything that comes into your house as a gift is demonic? Well, sometimes things are cursed. They are cursed. And there are things that you can keep, and there are things the Holy Spirit will tell you to get rid of. And that's where your walk becomes personal with God and you begin to seek Him. Lord, what should I do? What should I do with this situation? Some things you can pray over and cleanse with the blood of Jesus, but other things represent things that are demonic spirits that we're not even aware of because we're not that schooled in it, right? Until you begin to look. God will show you. Let's read John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so we have to remember, Bishop always talks about not making friends with the enemy. Not making friends with the enemy. Not making an agreement with the enemy. Well, if you don't bother me, I won't bother you. Because he will still bother you. Because he's a liar. Let's go on. Let's go to the next slide. Godly belief. Since I belong to Christ, Satan can never possess me. As I rely on Christ's life within me, I have his power to defeat any satanic attack or spiritual stronghold. Let's read the scripture together. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's go on. We're almost done. We overcome the world with faith. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so when you take that word faith and you make an acrostic, we're going to briefly go through this. You can study it on your own. F is for focus on Jesus as God the Savior. A is acknowledge that Jesus has overcome the world. I, identify with Jesus that his victory is your victory. Tell your neighbor it's my victory. Tell somebody else it's my victory. T is trust in the absolute truth of God's word. God cannot lie. All Satan does is lie. All the time. H, hold up God's word as your measuring rod against the world's standards. This is a strategy for battle. And God will give you what you need. Amil, if you'll come to the piano. God will give you what you need. Because God wants you to accomplish your purpose in this earth. God is counting on you. Tell your neighbor, he's counting on you. So we can't give up. But we want to be wise to what is the world, what is me, my flesh, what is this war that's going on inside of my flesh? And what is satanic? God will give you wisdom on how to deal with that. And everybody goes through a school of learning. You know, I was talking just a little bit about mine and Leonard's. And we were raised in church, raised in the Word. We still had to go through a school of learning. We call it the school of the Holy Spirit. You never know for sure what course He's going to teach you. But it's usually on-the-job training, isn't it, Janice? It's on-the-job training. And I heard a teacher say, He does you, and then He'll tell you later what He did. Experience that? Yes, hallelujah. It's never a dull moment when you serve the Lord. You can go ahead and play. Never a dull moment when you serve the Lord. Never a dull moment when you ask Him to help you. He will help you. He's always has His ears tuned into you. You know, He said, we have not because we ask not. So whatever we ask the Father in His name, believing, He'll give to us. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand this morning. You've been a great congregation today. When you get real quiet, I know you're absorbing stuff. Holy Spirit is teaching us. He does not want us to be ignorant of the works of the devil. And so we don't focus on the devil, but on how great our God is and how He has equipped us for the battle. And He's given us an intellect and a will so that we can study His word and we can exercise our spiritual authority. And we just need to remind the devil he's defeated. You know, you can get scared when you're faced with so much. It feels overwhelming. One of my nephews passed away. He was only 29, two small children. My sister has a beautiful family. And she said, I know the Lord said He'd never put more on us than we could bear, but this is almost feels like more. And we get in those places where if we didn't know God, we would be overwhelmed. If we did not know God, we would be broken. But God will not break us, but He'll make us. He doesn't put so much pressure on us that we break, but He puts pressure on us to strengthen us. And you know, we can look at that situation of my nephew and say, what good could ever come out of that? But we know something will. Something will. Because God said it does. And He says, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. Does that make any sense to you? Just doesn't quite make sense, you know, that He calls that precious. Because we want him to stay here, right? But God says it's precious, so it must be precious. So we trust God. With every day of our life, with those that we love, we want to live each day to the fullest because we have no promise of tomorrow. And we're not going to let the devil hinder us or persuade us to believe something other than our God is alive, our God rules and reigns, and He is sovereign over our lives. And if He promised us, then it's going to happen. As sure as we're standing here today, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the elders if they'll come up. If you need prayer this morning, if you're struggling in a battle in any of these areas, would you come up and let us pray for you today? And thank you for coming out today. God has done something supernaturally in our spirit man. You've been strengthened today. Strengthened for the battle. So, Father, we thank you for what you've done today. We thank you for every family that's gathered here today, every person. Lord, strengthen each one of them. Be with them as they go today. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory. God, I thank you that you lift any burden off of them, God, that they're holding on to, Lord. Let it fall at the cross today. Lord, as we give our life to you, all that we are, all that we ever will be, Lord, we bring it to you today and present it. If there's anyone here that would like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, just come on forward this morning. We will pray with you. The most important thing is that Jesus Christ is in your life. We will mentor you and help you along the way. So, Father, thank you for every man, woman, and child that's gathered here today. Bless them abundantly and draw them close to you. And may they hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen.